Hi there. Welcome to this YouTube video. My name is Kingsley Okonkwo. I'm a certified relationship coach, and I'm also an ordained pastor. All right. So today, I'm going to talk about common characteristics of relationships that will become or that might become a crisis marriage. All right. Common characteristics of relationships that might lead to a crisis marriage. Okay. As you know, I'm a relationship coach and a counselor. And I literally talk to thousands of people and couples every year, thousands and thousands. And I've done this for about 20-something years. And these are people from different walks of life, different educational qualifications, and different parts of the world. And I've discovered that most crisis marriages have some common characteristics. Now, if you're single or in a relationship, this is the best time for you to address these issues. If you're already married, your approach might be slightly different, but this is majorly for people that are single or in a relationship so that they will know and make sure they are not falling into the common mistakes. All right. So, hey, but if you have not subscribed to my channel, please make sure you do that and turn on the notifications so that you can get updates when we post new videos. And don't forget, loads of information will be scrolling past. Make sure you take advantage of them. Our website, our coaching courses and different things are available. All right, so let's go. Common characteristics of relationships that lead to crisis marriages. Number one, we have noticed over the years is that they prioritize the wedding over the marriage. They prioritize the wedding over the marriage. Most times when you see a crisis marriage, one of the things that is common is that they lay emphasis on the wedding more than they do on the marriage. You see, the wedding is not the marriage. You need to get that. The wedding is not the marriage. I know when people are in love and they are eager, they are focusing so much on the wedding, discussing the wedding, and they're not paying attention to the marriage. The wedding is not the marriage. You see, the wedding, you know, happens before the marriage. The wedding, you know, is a ceremony. The marriage is a covenant, joining two people together. The wedding is for the crowd, it's for the audience, for the people. The marriage is for only both of you. Only both of you will count. All right? The wedding is for a few hours. The marriage is for the rest of your life. So crisis marriages usually find, what you find out is that they prioritize the wedding over the marriage. They are ready to spend a lot of money and energy on making it a perfect wedding instead of a perfect marriage. They put all the effort, you can see the effort, on making sure they get the best wedding gown, the best suit, the best wedding planner, the best caterer. They're putting all their effort into getting the perfect wedding instead of on getting the perfect marriage. And there are statistics out there, studies out there that show that there's a correlation between how much you spend on your wedding and with the chances that the marriage will survive. So in other words, what they're saying is this, that the higher you spend, that's what the studies say, that the higher you spend on the wedding, you know, reduces the chances of the marriage making it. And the study out there. And I've discovered that there's a lot of truth with it. Because I've seen many people that were willing to spend so much for the wedding, reluctant to spend in terms of things that would develop the marriage. In fact, some people even come to me, and I can see how much, you know, they've spent on their wedding. I've seen how much money they put in there. And they don't want to pay for a counseling course. They don't want to pay for a coaching course. They don't want to pay to talk to a counselor about their marriage. But they want to spend about the wedding because they want to please people. The wedding is for the people. The marriage is for only both of you. All right? So most crisis marriages, what I discovered is that there was so much priority on the wedding and not on the marriage. So make sure you're not making that mistake. Number two, most crisis marriages, they prioritize the union and not the relationship. Okay? They prioritize the union and not the relationship. What do I mean? Most crisis marriages, you'll notice that they are more interested in us getting married instead of asking, are we even getting along? Okay, take note. They focus on us getting married, not are we getting along. So they focus so much on the destination called the marriage. And instead of asking themselves, do we even want to be together? Do we get along? Can we talk? Is there friendship? Because I see people tell me things like, oh, pastor, there's this girl I want to marry. you know, I love her so much, I don't want to marry her next year, or I want to marry her next month, something. But they say, oh, she doesn't respect me, she doesn't listen to me, she doesn't even do this, she doesn't do... And I'm wondering, so why do you want to marry her? Same thing happens with women. Say, Pastor, this is the man that wants to marry me, you're going to get married in 3 months' time. Oh, but he beats me, he shouts at me, he doesn't do this. And I'm wondering, those are the things you're supposed to be paying attention at, not on the wedding, or not on the wedding. But you see, people focus on the union instead of the relationship. When I mean relationship, I mean, do we get along? Do we even like each other? Do we like you to hang out with each other? Is there companionship? Is there friendship, you know, between two of us? All right, so let's stop focusing on the union and let's check on the relationship. Because sometimes what happens again is that a lot of people get hitched together. That happens a lot. So somebody's single, is tired of being single, you know, and somebody hooks them up with their cousin or their uncle. Somebody hooks them up with somebody, a single guy or single girl, for the purpose of marriage. You see, when you are hooked up or hitched together like that, what happens is that you don't have so much time to develop the relationship. You are, both of you are focused on the union. And usually that leads to a crisis marriage. Now, it doesn't happen all the time, but it largely happens like that, when there is a lack of companionship and a lack of, you know, friendship. Okay? So crisis marriages usually prioritize the union over the relationship, the friendship. Number three, most crisis marriages prioritize love over learning. They prioritize love over learning. What does that mean? These are people you hear say, oh, we just love each other, we don't need counseling. We just love each other, we don't need to read any book. Oh, we just love each other, we can't even wait. Let's just get married, it's going to be all blissful. It's going to be flowers and candy. It's going to be romance and honeymoon. love is never enough. And I understand, when is the real meaning of love? It is usually enough. But most times, when we use it in this context, most people are thinking about love as a feeling. Okay, they're thinking about love as that euphoric feeling that you have. And what they fail to realize is that that euphoric feeling is time-bound. It's not going to last. You know, that's just an emotional connection or emotional, you know, excitement. That never lasts. Emotions never last. Emotions are fickle by nature. They fluctuate. They just go and come as they like. So, but learning about marriage will keep you, all right? Facts will always be superior to feelings, all right? So learning, you know, about relationships will actually help the marriage. Learning about marriage will help you stay longer in the marriage than your feelings, because your feelings disappear. That euphoric feeling always disappears. And in one of my books titled You Don't Need a New Spouse, I had to deal with this majorly because most couples have anywhere between 6 months and 2 years in marriage, that euphoric stage fades away and they start to struggle and they begin to think, I married the wrong person, I need a new spouse. And usually what we teach them is that you must move from emotional love to intentional love, all right? Emotional love is when these things just happen naturally. You don't even know what you're doing right. If a bit of you haven't even seen any flaws in each other, you must move from there to intentional love, where you now know what that person likes and you are being intentional about keeping them, all right? So crisis marriages really prioritize love over learning. You must pay attention to learning. Do marriage counseling. Do premarital marriage counseling. Statistically, it has shown that premarital counseling has a major role to determine whether the marriage will end as a crisis marriage or a good marriage. Statistically, it has been discovered, all right, that most people that do proper marriage counseling, not just the one you're rushing through, I mean proper marriage counseling, they find out that it has a part to play in how long and how well that marriage will last. All right, so be careful of this one. Number four. Crisis marriages prioritize speed over success. They prioritize speed over success. So these are people that just want to marry. They are in a hurry. I don't know if you've met people like that. They are just in a hurry. All right. They can't wait. So let's get married next month. I've even met people that have eloped and just, you know, ran away and just went to get married. They just want to marry at all cost. You know, they prioritize the speed of it over the success of it. Sometimes I've saved many people from entering a crisis marriage just by asking them to wait. That means I'm not even saying I'm against that, just wait. And that period of a little waiting allows them to know each other better, allows them to see themselves for who they really are, allow them to see aspects of that their partner that they didn't pay attention to. And then they find out that, you know, I really don't want to marry this person, or I really can't marry this person. So just like on the highway, it's the same thing with relationship. Speed kills. Speed kills. So, hey, slow it down. and focus more on the longevity, the quality of the relationship, not just the speed of it. All right. I had to have a message titled "Too Fast, Too Serious." You know, the series of movies that is Too Fast, Too Furious. Mine is Too Fast, Too Serious. That means don't get too serious with this person too quickly. Allow friendship, allow time. All right. Time has a way of revealing things and overcoming deception. All right. So they prioritize speed over success. Next one. Most crisis marriages also prioritize autonomy over authority. They prioritize autonomy over authority. What do I mean here? You know, these are people that want their freedom. These are people that don't want to be submitted to anybody. They want their own freedom, their own, you know, control. However, statistically, again, they've discovered that having authority figures in your lives, mentors, pastors, counselors, people both of you look up to, have a way of stabilizing a marriage. And it has always been so. Communities have a way they self-regulate each other. Before there was so much law and so much, civilization, communities had a way they regulated things. All right, so having authority figures always helps. When both of you can't seem to agree, having a more experienced person that can bring in some advice, bring in some perspective, has a way that it has calmed many marriages down over the years and over time. So, hey, crisis marriages, you find that you hear things like, he listens to nobody. Nobody can talk to her. They are not submitted to anybody. You hear a lot of that, you know, and it becomes a crisis marriage. But whenever you see two people come together that are submitted to other people, you find out that if they have issues they can't resolve, you know, within themselves, there's always somebody they can both refer to and defer to that can speak wisdom and speak sense into that relationship. All right. So crisis marriages, you find out they don't want to be accountable to anybody, one or both of the parties don't want to be accountable to anybody, and that leads to a crisis all the time. Because when you can't get to your partner, when you can't get them to do something, who is there anybody you can talk with? Is there anybody that they listen to that can also bring perspective? Many marriages have been saved just because one or both parties can listen to somebody else. So when we can't agree, I can bring somebody else in and say, hey, can you give your perspective? I just saved, you know, many marriages. I've shared this over and over again. When I was getting married, it was one of the things I did. I took my wife to the mentors I had and the mentors I was submitted to. And I said, hey, if at any time I'm acting out of order, you can't get to me, feel free to talk to these guys or any of these men to call me to order. And it has helped. And it has helped many marriages. All right. Number next. All right. Most crisis marriages focus so much. They prioritize the externals over the internals. All right. They prioritize the externals over the internals. This one is serious. A marriage that will be a crisis marriage, you see that it is built a lot around physical attraction. Oh, how beautiful she is, how handsome he is. Does he have broad shoulders, six packs, a large chest? Does she have hips, you know, lips and fingertips, you know, shape and all those things? And truly, those things are okay, but you cannot prioritize them over the internal qualities. The internal qualities will always outlast the external qualities. The external qualities, by nature and structure, they will fade away with time. As the years go, you won't look this way. By the time two or three or four children come, nobody will look the same. These are the things that make people tell me, I'm no more attracted to my wife. After the three kids, she's now fat. She is now this. Or he now has a pot belly and all that. So I'm no more attracted. You see, they're trying to build a long-term commitment on looks. Looks will never hold a marriage. I've never seen how looks is what will hold a marriage. Real internal qualities, character, kindness, patience, tolerance, you know, things like that, forgiveness, things like that will always matter more than external qualities. So when you see a couple prioritizing, you know, external things over the internal things, they are going to head for crisis. And throughout scripture, the Bible does talk about external qualities, only that in most places, they are always contrasting it against internal qualities. So you hear the Bible say things like, beauty is vain, charm is deceitful. It's about a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So they were saying, oh, beauty is there, charm is there, but see, the woman that has godly character, she shall be praised. You see King Solomon, Professor Emeritus of Relationship, that's what I call him, because he did surveys that even Harvard cannot do. He had 1,000 women in his life at the same time, but he came up with some powerful theories. He said, a beautiful face on an empty head is like a woman, it's like putting a gold ring on a pig's snout. He's saying a fair woman, that's a beautiful woman, that has an empty head, a beautiful face on an empty head, is like putting a gold ring on a pig's nose. That means it's totally useless, totally worthless. What is he trying to say? He's saying, look, a beautiful face is great, but having discretion, having wisdom is better. Having intelligence is better. I can give you more. And that scripture says, though the outward man perishes, he said the inward man is renewed day by day. The outward man is dying every day. Your face is going to wrinkle. When you see a couple that are married for 50 years, or that are 80 years old, 85 years old, or 70 years old, or even 60 years old, trust me, it's not looks keeping them at that age. It's not sexual passion keeping them at that age. What is keeping them at that age is friendship, kindness, tolerance, forgiveness, patience. Those are the kind of things that you should look out for. Okay, next point. Crisis marriages, one thing you notice about them is that they prioritize me over we. Okay? They prioritize me over we. Crisis marriages are usually built by one or two very selfish people. All right? There's a great high level of selfishness. They prioritize me over we. There's so much of me, what I want to do, you know, things like that. There's so much attachment to their own extended family. They don't even see their spouse as their family. I mean, it's just amazing. Marriage is a covenant. The Bible is clear about this. It said, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. When you are getting married, what you're saying is that you are going to leave your father and your mother. This doesn't mean you abandon them. It just means you're not going to be, they're not your priority anymore. This person you are cleaving to is now your priority. This person is now your principal family. But there are many people that don't have this understanding. So they still see their wife as not their blood. They say, oh, my blood. And they're referring to their parents. They're referring to their siblings as their blood. No. Your wife is now your blood. That is what it is. Marriage is a covenant. Actually, when the Bible says, when they're saying blood is thicker than water started, many people thought it meant, oh, the blood of me and my brother being blood. No. What they meant was that the blood of covenant, because when you get married, you are entering a covenant, and a covenant is always signed by blood. That's part of what sex is for. And they say blood is thicker than water. What that means is that my siblings, I and them shared the same mother's water. You know, when a woman gives birth, her water breaks. So that's water. That's what they mean by water. They're saying covenant blood is that we consciously enter the covenant by blood. You know, there's no covenant without blood. All right? And even if you see occultic people and things like when they want to enter a covenant, there must be shedding of blood. So blood always has to be there in covenant. Even our covenant with the Lord, with God, it was on the basis of Jesus' blood. So there has to be blood. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. So when they say blood is thicker than water, it doesn't mean my siblings. It actually means my spouse is the blood that is thicker than my brother's that I broke my mother's water with. All right? It's medical stuff. I hope it makes sense to you. But the point is that crisis marriages will always prioritize me over we. So you notice one person wants to be happy at the expense of the other person. If we think we, how can we be happy? What is our goal? What do we want to achieve? How can we be happy? How can we achieve our goals? Once it's we, all right, the marriage will work. Most crisis marriages are built on me. I'm not happy. I'm not getting what I want. I, me, myself, and I, as they say. All right? So put the emphasis. Check it out. If there's so much me, if one person is gaining or at the expense of the other person, at the expense of the group, then it's not going to work. And the last one, crisis marriages always prioritize intercourse over interview. They prioritize intercourse over interview. What does this mean? Some people, when they're dating, when they're in courtship, all they're doing is having passionate sex. All they're doing is focus on the passion and the emotion, and they're not talking. The dating period is for interview, not for intercourse. The late Pastor Bimbo Dukoya said that. The dating period is for interview, not for intercourse. Spend time talking. Leave all the euphoric feelings, leave all the passion, leave all the butterflies in your stomach. Butterflies have a very short lifespan. Leave the spark you are feeling. Focus on the interview. Talk. Talk about money. What are your views about money? Who should provide? Should we cooperate? Should we have a joint account? Do you believe in joint account? Do you believe in a man providing more? Do you believe in both of us making decisions? These are very important things. Do you believe in one person being a housewife or can my wife work? Do you believe in how many kids are we going to have? if I have just girls, are we going to keep trying till I have a boy? Or are we okay with having two girls? This is important. You know, what if I don't even have kids? You know, have practical conversations. This is why we always recommend, you know, that you do proper marriage counseling. They will help you to talk about important things. You know, talk about in-laws. Are people going to live with us? Where are we going to live? What are we going to achieve? You know, proper marriage counseling will help you. And we have loads of that available. We even have courses you can take as a couple together when you're dating. These things will help you. All right, have these things going. They will help you have proper conversations. So crisis marriages focus on intercourse, not on interview. All right, so I hope this video has helped you. Don't forget all the points. Focus more on the marriage, not on the wedding. Like I said, I've seen too many young people have destination weddings, have this wedding, get the best MCs, the best, and nothing is invested in the marriage. Please invest in your marriage. Your marriage is a ministry. Your marriage counts. Your marriage will affect this world, and it also affects your world. So God will help you as you do it. All right. So hey, make sure you subscribe to my channel and share this video so that somebody will avoid having a crisis marriage. All right. See you in the next video.